what God would say to us this morning. As you think about your life, as you think about your relationship with the Lord, I guess there are times when you question whether you are experiencing the presence of God in your life. Sometimes you may even ask yourself, how do I handle the issues of life? I don't know about you, but you may be even thinking about that you're tired of being the same person, that you don't really see change, of any great change in your life. Even that you're tired of the way you think. Some of you may think that in life you're going around in circles. And in going around in circles, you're making the same mistakes over and over again. I think the answer to your concerns we will deal with this morning. And I want you to focus for a brief moment on Philippians, the fourth chapter, and let's look at verse number 6. Philippians 4:6. I will wait and give you some of you a chance to locate that. When you get there, you know, just say amen. Everybody else is still turning, so I'll wait a moment. Philippians is found in the New Testament. It's right after Ephesians, and it's before Colossians. So let me just wait for just another moment while you get there. In the scripture, it's read, we read this: be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let's bow. Father, we just thank you for your love for us. We thank you, Lord, this morning for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, for his resurrection. And Lord, through his resurrection and the filling of your spirit, that we have a guidance for the life that you've called us to live. Now, Lord, as we look into your word this morning, Lord, we want you to give emphasis to those points that you would have to touch our lives individually and collectively. Lord, show us the necessity in our lives for prayer, the necessities in our lives to walk in a manner that is pleasing to you. This we ask in your son's name and for his sake, amen. A few weeks ago, I took my wife and my two grandsons, and we went to the movies. And we went to the movies because it was, as a family, because it was a Christian film. It was called The War Room. And in The War Room, and I'm going to capsulize just so that we can get everything done this morning, it was about a woman who had seen fantastic changes in areas that she had prayed for. And what she had done was she took one of her closets in her house, and she took everything out of the closet to the point the only thing she had in the room was a chair. And on the walls on both sides of her, she would write things that she needed to pray about. Not everything related to her. It could be anyone that asked her to pray for her, for them. And over a period of time, because she spent hours upon hours in that room praying, God used her to reach a lot of people that weren't saved and to answer prayer requests for those that were saved. And they called the movie The War Room because they understood that we are in a battle. And because we're in a battle, we have to make sure that we are equipped for what God has called us to. In the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question number 88 gives a means of grace. It refers to the concept that God uses particular means or methods to communicate or give his grace to his people. Some of these methods is prayer. One of these methods is prayer, the process of us speaking to God and listening to God. Now, before I go further, I just want to make this other comment to you. Christ has instructed us to use this method of prayer and his church to receive his grace. Now, prayer is a fundamental means of grace. It's a gift of God as an expression to men. In relation to, it is relational and transforming. In essence, what I'm saying to you is that for you to have a fundamentally strong prayer life, you must first have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then secondly, you must allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life to transform you to become the person that God would have you to be. It involves you taking time in your life, in your schedule, to talk to God. But more important than you talking to God, it requires that you have the time and to listen to what God is saying. You cannot put God on a time clock and say, Lord, you have 3 minutes, you have 5 minutes to talk to me, but it has to be a process of in this prayer relationship where you give God the time that he feels he needs in order to speak to you. In Philippians 4, Paul appeals to the believers, the disciples of Christ, and he reminds them that we have a wonderful relationship in Christ, a joyous relationship that we should rejoice in because of what Christ has done in our lives, and also that we should rejoice in what he has promised to us as believers as he covers us with his grace. By trusting Christ, it leads us to a relationship of peace. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times in my life when I am not sure that I'm walking in God's peace because of all the turmoil that's going on around me. But God says to us that as we trust him with our lives, as we give him control, and as we walk as he would have us to walk, he will give us a peace that passes all understanding. Your joy, the joy that Christ is talking, that Paul is speaking of here, is not based upon an outward situation. It's not based upon its outward circumstances that we have in life. It's not based upon outward situations. In essence, what we need to understand that the joy that Paul is talking about here is knowing your place in the Lord, is knowing that what God will do in your life, it is knowing that this grace that we talk about, is this grace that we read about, is accessible to us, and that we have God's favor, and that God is going to cover us with his unmerited favor, and that is what gives us joy no matter what our circumstance is, no matter what we're going through. Paul says that believers should always have joy. Is there times in your life when you don't have any joy? Is there times in your life when you are depressed, when you are down, and you just don't see any reason for going on with life? Satan and his demons can try with all of their power, with all of their might, to take your joy from you. But you have this great, great, great relationship that you need to stand in, you need to be firm in, you need to be steadfast in knowing that because of Christ's resurrection, that you have this dynamic, personal, intimate relationship with him, and because of the relationship that you share with him, that he's going to meet every need in your life. Paul goes on in here to say that we are to be content. I don't know about you, but that is something that is sometimes fleeting, being content. You know, that, you know, if everything is going your way and you have no problems in your life, you know, then you're content. You feel fine. But God says that our contentment is knowing that we're living out the gospel in our lives on a day-to-day basis, that we have submitted ourselves to Christ, that we are going to be obedient to his word, and that we don't look for what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't look for what's going to happen in the next hour. But what we do is we focus on what Christ has done in our lives, and we live the way he has called us to live, and we trust him for everything else. Your rent's due. How do you respond? Christ knows your rent is due. Your car breaks down. How do you respond? Christ knows your car breaks down. God is looking for people that no matter how difficult the situation we find ourselves in, we understand and we can rejoice in knowing what Christ has did on the cross, of his resurrection, and because of that, we are winners even when it doesn't look like we're a winner. That you can, with all of your strength, with all of your spiritual strength, say that no matter how bad things may look, I don't stand alone. I don't stand alone. In verse number 5, Paul goes on to say that as Christians, as believers, as disciples of Christ, one of the things that must exist in our lives is a level of gentleness. And that gentleness that we have is something that everyone has to be able to see. It can't be something that is hidden under a bushel. It can't be something that we know about, but no one else knows that we are a gentle person. But that gentleness is made up of three things. It is made up of the point that we have a forgiving spirit. That we forgive people even when they don't ask our forgiveness. Along with being forgiving is that we are unselfish. And along with being unselfish, that we are considerate of others. God is saying that, you know, in this walk that we have, that we are to be emissaries, or we are to be living lives that are reflective of who we say we serve. The Bible says that we are to celebrate Christ. That's what he's talking about when Paul's talking about, when he's talking about the joy, the rejoicing in that we have in our lives over and over again. Here he says, rejoice, and again I say rejoice, because he's talking about that you are celebrating Christ. You're focusing on what Christ has done for you, and that focus that you have towards him is in your attitude. It's in your action. It is in the authenticity of your relationship with Christ. That it's authentic. It's not something made up where you've taken some things from the world and some things from the Bible and you call that the way you're going to live. But God is saying to us that he's looking that our life is authentic, that we are living out the gospel, and the gospel is first, in every area of our lives. Paul goes on to say in verse number 6, he gives us an imperative. He gives us an imperative, something that is essential to our Christian life, something that is urgent for us to grab onto. It's a command. He gives us a command. He requires a change in our behavior. That change in our behavior he requires is that we start to change in the way we respond to certain situations in life. And then he comes back and says, with that imperative, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but I had to stop and I had to then go look into another book to deal with all the things you can be anxious about, or the different terminologies that mean the same thing. See, because sometimes we can say, I'm not anxious about anything. That's not in me to be anxious. But what Paul wants us to understand is that when we talk about being anxious, God is saying that we're not supposed to worry about anything. That we're not supposed to be apprehensive, that we're not supposed to fear. Now, that's a big one that we have to get to and to deal with, that we are not fearful about anything in this world or anything that the adversary may bring upon us. Now, along with that fear, he's saying also that you are not troubled. Some of us go to sleep in fear. Some of us go to sleep in fear. With troubles, and we wake up the next day and find that they're still there looking us in the face. Paul says when he's talking about being anxious for nothing, he's saying that you're not distressed and that you're not stressed. That's another big one for us. Not being stressed in the world that we live in. He says you're not to be edgy. You're not to be nervous. You're not supposed to be agitated or unquieted. So when Paul says to us, be anxious for nothing, we can't just look at the word anxious as he has with one word, but we have to look at all encompassing those things that will bring about anxiousness in our lives. But then he comes back and he says, but in everything. In every circumstance that comes in your life, in every situation that you have in your life, he's saying by prayer. But we can't overlook that one statement there because it means a lot, because he's saying in everything. He's saying that I want you to understand that you have to take this position in everything that may happen in your life. You can't say, well, this one situation over here, I got to handle differently. God is saying to us, in everything that we do, we have to handle it as God would have us to handle it. And this way, he says, by prayer. Our means of grace, by prayer, our means of grace, that we pray about everything. Now, I don't know about you, but I have to be honest with you and say that my prayer life is not as good as I would like it to be. I'd like to spend more time just praying. I wish I had a war room where I can go in the war room and spend, 3-4 hours in there just praying and spending time with the Lord and letting him speak to me. I don't know about you, but I think the relationship, the closeness that you have with God when you have time to spend in prayer and you can put aside the things of this world is dynamic. And what God is saying to us, that he wants us to pray about everything that happens. Just think about this past week. Think about the things that happened in your life. Some of them brought about stress. Some of them brought about worry in your life. Some of them left you kind of hanging out there, not knowing how you're going to respond to them. And the last thing you thought about was praying to God. I guess that was only me. So I ask that y'all would pray for me, that I will get stronger in the Lord, okay? But I know that I'm not the only one, that when things happen in my life, in your life, in my life, that the first thing we do is we stop and we pray to God and ask him, how does he want us to deal with it? Sometimes because of education, we just start doing things without even talking to God. Sometimes because of emotions, we start doing things without even talking to God. Sometimes because of our temperament, we start doing things without talking to God. But God is saying to us, and what Paul wants us to understand, is that God wants us to bring everything to him in prayer and let him give us direction and guidance for how he wants us to handle it. And think about it. God wants you to tell him everything about it. He wants you to be detailed in telling him. It took me a while to get there. Lord, I need your help. And this is the area. I need your help with my car. God said, well, I need you to be more detailed. Well, you know, it's old. I think the transmission is I'm having problems with the transmission. So, Lord, I want you to cause my transmission to last for another 100,000 miles. Nothing is impossible with God. I was detailed because I know nothing is impossible with him. And God is saying that he wants our prayer life to be where we are detailed in what we asked him for, because he is a detailed God. And then he wants us to praise him. I think all of us have a hymn, a song, a scripture, and it's, I tell you, it's nothing like praising the Lord before you ask him for something, and then praising him because you know he's going to do it. That's what Paul is talking about. You have to have a joyous spirit to really praise the Lord. And what God is saying to us is he wants us to have that type of relationship with him where when we sing, when we praise him, that he knows the praise is coming to him. That we're not hesitant in our song. And you know, you have to make sure that if it's a song, you got to make sure it's a praise song. Because sometimes, you know, we sing songs that God says he can't be praising me, because it's a song from Scripture, but it's not a praise song. So you need to make sure that you are praising him in word, in deed, in action, in song. Because, you know, the thing that you understand in Romans 8:28, that everything is working for your good. Grab on to that. Everything is working for your good. Then he goes on and he talks about, and then along with prayer, there must be supplication. Asking him. And you know, the writer even says that you have to sometime beg. It must be earnest, you're asking. Your asking must be humbly done. Asking him to provide what your need is. Now make sure when you pray and you ask God for something, that you're asking for a need and not a want and a desire. Because there's a difference in them. And God has promised you that he will meet all of your needs. He goes on to say that there must be thanksgiving. Now, the thing that you come to understand is God is asking that you give, or Paul is saying that you have to give God thanksgiving before he does it. You got me? Let's make sure you got that one. You have to give God thanksgiving before he does it, and then give him thanksgiving after he does it. For the past 4 Thanksgivings, my son and I have fixed Thanksgiving dinner. We've allowed my wife to sleep, do whatever she wants to do. And my son and I spend the day in the kitchen making everything from turkey to the macaroni. The only thing we don't make is sweet potato pie, because we know where we can get it and it tastes better than anything we can make, okay? It is our way of thanking God for the gift he has given us. So we thank God while we're making it, and then when we sit down at the table to eat, we thank him for what he's provided. It is not the process that we have in this world that you pray, you ask God for something, and then you don't thank him for it until you get it. God doesn't think the way we think, so his thoughts are not our thoughts. Paul is saying that we are to thank God even before we get it, because God is faithful. In verse 7, he says, "And the peace of God." He's talking about a peace that is anything that is not anything you can understand. It's not something you can understand. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, "Perfect peace to those whose mind are steadfast on me and trust me." If your mind is steadfast on God and you trust him, he will bring his peace into your life. Secondly, he says there, guard your heart. In Proverbs, the 4th chapter, in the 23rd verse, it says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." It determines the course of your life. You need to make sure that you are guarding your heart and that you are praying and you are opening yourself up so that God can make sure that your life is on the course that he has from you. The next way you look at that is if you go to Proverbs 3:5-6, and it said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lead not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall make your pathway straight." He will make your life straight. He will accomplish in your life what he wants to accomplish in your life. The next point that Paul brings out to our attention is to guard your mind, because the mind is the source for true life. Philippians, the 4th chapter and verse 8. Let's look at that since we are right in there. "Finally, brothers, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are..." Let me pick this up here. "Finally, brothers, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are notable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." So what God is saying is that we have to look at verse 8, and we have to say, these are the things that God wants us to put lace in our mind. These are the things he wants us to pour into our mind. These are the things that he wants us to live out, that he may work out his plan for us in Jesus Christ. And finally, he says to us, through Jesus Christ, all things are possible. Through Jesus Christ, we are strengthened, Philippians 4:13. We are loved by God, Romans the 8th chapter, and we are redeemed and forgiven, Ephesians 1:7. God wants us to know that He, through Jesus Christ, wants the very best for us, and He has given us this grace of prayer, that through prayer we can become the children that He would have us to be. He becomes a, we are then able to hear from Him as we talk to Him, and He is able to tell us and give us decisions for our lives. He's able to make us steadfast as we go through issues in this life. He's able to strengthen us as we go through issues in this life. He stands there waiting to hear from us. He will also give us through supplication, meet our needs through humble, earnest ways. He will also stand there as we give Him thanksgiving. He will guard our hearts. He will guard our minds. He will give us perfect peace as we submit ourselves to Him. In John, the 9th chapter, and the 31st verse, John 9:31. The word says that God does not hear the words of sinners. Therefore, in order for you to be able to have the joy that Paul is talking about here, in order for you to be able to say that you're not anxious about anything in life, in order that you are able to go before God and humbly ask Him for the things that you need, in order for Him to be able to protect your heart and your mind, you must have a relationship with Him. Because He doesn't hear you. He will not answer your prayers until you have a relationship with Him. All it takes is you asking Him to come into your life, to be your Lord and your Savior, you submitting your will to Him, you living a life that is obedient to His word, you trusting Him for your every need in life, you allowing Him to develop an through His Holy Spirit, an intimate relationship with you. Be you man, woman, boy, girl, Christ wants to have that intimate relationship with you. All it does is require you submitting yourself to Him, that He becomes Lord and Savior of your life. Once you give Him lordship of your life, He then takes control, and through the work of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in your life, you become the child that He would have you to be. Let's bow. Father, we just thank You for our moments in Your word. We thank You, Lord, for getting a greater understanding of Your word. We thank You even more so that through the time we've spent together, we now understand that prayer is a means to Your grace, Your unmerited favor. We stand, we sit, thanking You for the grace that You showered upon us. We thank You for the privilege that we have to come to You in prayer, to meet You at Your throne, and to ask, to beg, to stand humbly before You, knowing that the needs that we have in this life, those things that may have us going around and around in circles, those things that have not changed in our lives because we have not submitted our lives to You, those times when we don't feel Your presence in our lives and we don't see the reality of our relationship with You. Lord, speak to the hearts and minds of these Your children this morning. To those that know You in the pardon of their sins, speak to them that you would like to meet them in prayer. Not just in the morning, not just in the evening, but that you want to spend, if possible, even the whole day in prayer with them. Have them to turn off televisions, the radios, computers, electronic games, and meet you at your throne. Lord, we know, based upon Ephesians, the sixth chapter, that we're in a war. And we need to spend more time understanding how you would have us to move, how you would have us to act, how you have us to react in this war that we're fighting. For those that don't know you in the pardon of their sins that may be here today, I ask, Lord, that before they put their heads down on a pillow this evening, that they will call upon you, wanting to have a relationship with you, so that through prayer, Lord, you can meet every need in their lives. You can protect their minds, you can protect, you know, their hearts, and that you, as they meet you in prayer, that you will answer their prayers as they present them to you in detail. This we ask in your Son's name and for his sake. Amen.